you, Vicki and team. You may be seated. Our final reading for this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you'd like to join me there. John, chapter 1. There it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." The Apostle John tells us that the story of Christmas started much further back than in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It started in eternity past. John writes these incredible and almost unfathomable words, really, about the Word of God that existed with God before all things. He writes prose here, but it almost sounds like poetry. He speaks of this person as equal to God, one with him, the creator of everything, the very source of life that animates you and I and every other living thing, the source of knowledge, the source of truth, the source of understanding and wisdom. This Word was the light that would never be extinguished. And John tells us that this eternal being who existed from before the beginning of all things, upon whom reality itself rests, actually became a flesh and blood human being in history that John himself saw and that he actually touched, that he conversed with, that he witnessed. These are powerful words when you consider that they come from an eyewitness. This is not a philosopher waxing eloquent about the meaning of life or about the nature of God. This is a man who is writing about an experience with a human being who was unlike any other and made claims like unlike any other, I should say. He saw this person and knew the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and what he tells us is a profound message. I know it's familiar, but when we consider it, the implications are immense. The immortal chose to become mortal. The Almighty chose to become weak. And the Creator chose to become part of his own creation. There is no message like that. There has never been its equal. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. But what is the purpose of this? Why did God choose to take such actions? Well, John tells us all the way through his gospel, but he summarizes it in these first few verses. He writes that Jesus came first to reveal God, to be his ultimate self-expression, but he mentions two important things here: to bring grace and truth. And we're going to hover on those three things very briefly this evening. You see, God becoming one of us shows us, unlike philosophy or any measure of theology or speculation or rationality, it shows us how much, or really, who God is. You see, in God becoming one of us, we get to see what He's really like. It shows us that God is deeply committed to His creation. So much so that He comes to enter into it to actually identify with us in the most intimate and direct way by becoming a man. To walk with us in our mess and in our despair, to bring us comfort, to bring hope, and to bring us out into a new life, namely His own. I was reading a quote this week from Bart Ehrman, who's an agnostic, and as an agnostic, he's sort of on the fence. He doesn't know whether or not to believe in God, but he says, you know, the Christmas message is something that so moves him because it tells us all these things about God. And if these are the things that are really true about God, then that is the kind of God He can worship. To which I say, well, these things are true. This is what John saw. This is good news for us today because Jesus, as John says, comes to bring us grace and truth. And these are things that are sorely needed in every age. Humanity is in desperate need of grace and truth. You see, we need truth about ultimate things. Why? Well, because if we're honest with ourselves, in varying degrees, we are all darkened by our lack of understanding. We're even darkened by our experience, our context, even our own desires. You see, there are some things that if we would discover were true, we would prefer that we didn't know them. As somebody had once said, and I appreciate this, you can't ever even get past yourself in this life. You're always limited by you. For many, today, even in an age of untruths, or for my truth, which is different than your truth, many today have their own opinion and their own feelings that have become a substitute for the objective source of all reality. And this leaves humanity in a deceived state, imagining that they are the center of their own made-up world. And that leaves people in darkness, floundering. So we need truth. But you see, the philosophers are afraid to find it. So we need truth to find us. And the good news in Jesus, as we've read this evening, is that truth and grace actually came to find us. God Himself steps down into an ignorant and a dark world to bring us light. The very revelation of Himself, the very truth about who we really are before Him and what this life is actually all about. So we need the revelation of God afresh. We also need truth. And then we need grace today. And John writes here some profound words that for those who believed in Jesus, Jesus gave them the right to become children of God. Now, I know that that doesn't seem to sound like such a big deal because many today have an assumption that humanity is okay on its own. It's naturally good. That we are, well, naturally all God's children, so to speak. But if that were so, I submit to you that our reality would be very, very different. You see, it is because of human desires and human actions that our world is the way it is. It is filled with moral corruption. It is filled with expressions of evil. It is filled with prejudice, evil, and hatred in endless forms. I mean, I don't want to ruin anybody's morning tomorrow morning, but when you see your kids fighting over the brand new toy that they got, just think that when that grows up, it's nations fighting against resources, or for resources, fighting against each other. You see, human nature is not God-like. If anything, it is unrighteous and unholy. But you see, the good news of Christmas is Christmas itself shows us that God did not desire to leave us in that position. He did not desire to leave us in our darkness and in that state. And I love as the hymn goes, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth. And do you know the rest? Born to give them second birth. You see, in His grace, we have Jesus taking on human life, but in the greatness of His perfect life and offering up that perfect life in place of ours, and to endure the consequence of our own corruption, our evil, and our hate. You see, the Christmas story begins, and I love how our decorator has set this up, but the cross is overneath the cradle. You see, the wood of the cradle foreshadows the wood of the cross. They're connected. Jesus didn't just was born so that we could know who He was. He was born for the express purpose of enduring the cross. So the great news of Christmas is that the source of our life, the sustainer of reality itself, gave up His life to die in our place for our sin and then rise from the grave to give us new life in Himself forever. Now you would think, I know that for many of us today that is a very familiar message, one that we hold dear. And for some of you might have got dragged out tonight, and this is a message that you might have not fully understand or understood in the past. But you would think that this incredible message of God running out into the world to become one of us, to save us, to rescue us, to give us life eternal, you think that that incredible message would change the world. And in fact, for the last 2,000 years, it has. There is no other figure in history that has had the impact that a first century carpenter has had on the entire world. No one matches his influence. But that's not the reality for everyone. You see, John writes, if you look carefully there in verse 10 and 11, that the effect of God's personal, ultimate self-revelation was a bit surprising. Most people didn't even notice. Most people didn't even believe. You see, they did not receive Jesus, meaning that they didn't accept Him or His claims. In fact, they mocked Him and they hated Him, and they still do today. And this leads to a bit of a sobering reality on this Christmas Eve. It's the shocking reality that Christmas cannot be enjoyed by everyone. Christmas is actually not for everyone. It is only for those who believe. You see, John writes very clearly here in the first chapter of his gospel in verse 11 and 13 that the reason why God became a human being was to make those who believed in Him His own children. However, those who would not believe would not receive the grace and truth that Jesus brings. It's very clear, John makes it very clear in the rest of the gospel in chapter 3. He writes these words: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." You see, Christmas is, in fact, as we just sung, open to all. All are invited. But not everybody wants it. Not everybody desires it. Not everybody thinks that they need God and His grace. You see, Christmas for them is at best pretty lights, nice music, family gatherings, gifts, and good food. Now, those are obviously all good things. But if that is all that Christmas is to you this evening, I want to submit to you, you are missing out terribly. You see, none of those things can ever compare at all to what God actually gives to those who believe in His Son. That is a new eternal identity, a new spiritual birth, a new eternal life with God forever, a life that is marked by love and joy and peace, a life that is filled with His grace and truth. You see, the good news is that for those who actually believe, Christmas is literally all year round. I always tell my kids this, like, we wish Christmas would all be around, like, all year round. I know why they say that is because they want gifts every day. But I try to respond, no, Christmas is all year round for us because we have the living God within us. You see, the celebration and the presents, they're all good things, but really, they are empty things when it comes to dealing with the pain and the loss and the despair that many actually feel at this time of year, that you might be feeling at this time of year. Celebration and parties and presents really are kind of like salt in a wound for somebody who's grieving. And yet the gospel and the true story of Christmas is about so much more. It's about God's triumph over death for us, coming into this world for us to give up His life and then rise so that we might have new life. You see, we need something much more brilliant than tinsel. We need the light of the world, something that is firm. And that firm foundation of hope can be found in Jesus for all who believe. So if you're here this evening and you have not yet to receive Christ through faith, our prayer is that you would believe on Him and that the light of the world would begin to burn in your heart, bright now, not just at Christmas, but forever. And with that in mind, we're going to start our last section tonight, and we're going to light some candles to represent this hope of the light